For spring break, a group of 16 journalism students from the University of Wisconsin-Milwaukee went to Flint, Michigan to learn what it's like to live in an American city where you still can't drink the water. They interviewed people in their homes and businesses, explored the landscape, and attended government seminars. On the final night, in the lobby of their hotel, I spoke with each of them about their thoughts on the trip. Students David Waters, Amanda Water, and Margie Sponholz were surprised by what they found.
And it's like different than what I expected. Like, it's so run down. Like, there's so many abandoned buildings. Like, I've never seen so many abandoned buildings in one place.
Just, it does look like a tornado just went through here. I didn't think it was going to look like this. I mean, I've been to, like, bad places in L.A. You know, people talk about how it's bad over there. But it was, the houses are nothing compared to here.
It was pretty drastic. I've been to New Orleans, and I've been to Baghdad, Iraq, and I've seen striking similarities in the housing in certain areas. Not all areas, but certain areas are definitely just forgotten and left behind. It was pretty depressing.
While they may have been surprised by the indirect results of the water crisis, Naisha Stone actually wasn't.
I mean, this has happened all around the country. Like, this is not something new. And it's just not surprising. It pisses me off, but it's definitely not surprising to me at all. Like, I expected all of the things that I saw here.
One thing Naisha didn't expect, though, was the reactions of the people in Flint.
They're over the situation. They're like, yeah, whatever, we're just going to deal with it. We're going to cope with it. But I thought they would be, like, more angry and just, like, wanting things to be done right now. But they're like, yeah, we can wait. We just want to see some type of progress, and they don't think they're seeing any type of progress.
I feel like people are given mixed facts, and nobody really knows, and there's a lot of mistrust.
That was Amanda Becker. She was stunned by how distant it seems the local government and the people of Flint are from each other. Another student, Sabrina Johnkins, spent her time walking throughout Flint, taking pictures and seeing what the city is like.
You don't expect this when you come to Flint, you know, at least as far as, like, the media has been covering it so far. You just assume they don't have water. And, you know, you're like, oh, wow, that really sucks. Like, it's going to take them a while to fix it. But it's more than just not having water. Like, there is a whole economic split and drift. There's a correlation between not having water and, you know, the demographic of the area.
Student Dwayne Lee spoke with a man who works in the shoe repair shop, and he told him how Flint was affected not only by the water, but by the effect on neighborhoods as well.
These houses are shells, or even less than that, and they're just there. And this will be right next to a house that's well-maintained for the most part. So it's a city of great contrast.
Ed Mikowski was fascinated by the houses in Flint. He is amazed how it seemed out of a whole neighborhood, one or two buildings would have people living in them.
It's eerie. You know, on a main street, you'll see a building that either burned down or is falling apart. For a number of years, I saw a building that had bricks from the walls laying in the sidewalk. They've been there for years.
Darian Yeager and Keaton Walkowski both have mixed feelings on the situation.
They have a lot of problems in Flint, obviously, with the water and the poverty, and the government's not listening to the issues, and it doesn't seem like they're helping. They're handing out filters that don't work. It was really frustrating because they need help, and it's not coming. So I was actually a little sad about that from the weekend.
The government just doesn't really care about all of its citizens. It only kind of cares about those that it's convenient to serve. It was just truly saddening to see in the certain sections the poverty, and I just hope that the government will do something about it, honestly.
What makes a town unique is its people. We all have been amazed by the fact that many of Flint's citizens have been able to cope with their situation. Even staying in Flint for a short time is hard. Amanda Becker finds this interesting.
Being here for 2 days is, like, very difficult to brush your teeth with bottled water and wash your hair with gallons of water. I don't know how everyone does it.
Students Rhea Riley and Zari Blackman recalled going to a local pet store in Flint and speaking to the workers there about raising animals in Flint since the water crisis.
Going to the pet shop and seeing that there was people that were struggling with the water situation with their animals but still having hope and using their resources like bottled water and filter water for their pets and for themselves. And
these are just someone's pets. You know, you think like, oh, I need water for my life, myself. And you need water for so much more in your life.
Even raising a child can be difficult. Brandon Andereg and Keaton Walkowski spoke with a mother carrying her child on top of her shoulders, and she was really passionate about children in Flint.
She had some friends that she mentioned, and it actually brought her to tears just thinking about, how vulnerable children are and the fact that something so important like water was such a struggle for these people. So she was actually brought a tear to her eye just thinking about these other kids.
When we started to talk about why she was so emotional, was she said, I don't cry for my child. I cry for the mothers and the children of all other children that have been affected by this. And that kind of empathy was just really emotional. And it really struck me that I wonder if that's a thing across Flint, that sort of empathy and we are all together.
Naomi Wilson went to a local soup kitchen in Flint and spoke with members of the community, and it got her thinking of people in her own community.
I've never gone to a soup kitchen in Milwaukee, so to go to somewhere here is kind of like, well, if people here are taking time out of their day to, you know, help each other out, why can't I do that for people at home?
John Fenimore met and spoke with Nick Custer, a citizen in Flint, at a local restaurant who was a part of a neighborhood discussion with President Obama in May 2016.
It's just amazing how many interesting stories you can just stumble upon in your work as a journalist.
Custer told Fenimore that even though he and other citizens got to express their thoughts on the city, nothing has really changed.
I think a lot of areas are still struggling with this, and that's very unfortunate. So I hope everybody can move from this and grow.
One thing we've learned is that no form of media can really show you how Flint has changed during the situation. Amanda Maniscalco also learned that the people are what keep the city alive.
And I feel like we need more of those people that really take initiative in their own hands, because the city's not. It was a very impacting trip and very memorable, and I will always remember my time here, because from now on, I am going to be looking at other communities and seeing how I can help.
We all have different perspectives from the Flint trip. This trip has impacted us in some shape or form. For Media Milwaukee, I'm Keo Horton.